Hello, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington, from the Yakima Indian Reservation. This is not primary, but caucus day in our state in just a few hours. In fact, 2 hours they're going to start, and the Democrats, all their votes for the primary, they ignore the primary. That doesn't count for anything, but everything's decided in the caucus. For the Republicans, it's about half and half. Half are decided in the caucuses today, and the others will be in about another week and a half, the primary. So we had our big primaries all this last week for whatever it was, 24 states out of the United States. And but this is a time that we should really be seeking our Creator for guidance and direction, and especially for His intervention, because we can use our minds as best we can and still come up wrong. So we need to appeal to our Creator and ask Him for godly men or women to be put in all levels of influence. So that includes not just elected offices, but appointed ones. But then also you can just look at Hollywood and other places where we desperately need a godly influence there to turn people to start thinking of their relationship with their Creator rather than just on what is the most thrills for the fewest seconds. And we need to look towards our heart again, our relationship with our God, and also with our loved ones and with our society that we are placed in. And we're supposed to be praying. Jesus had told us that we are supposed to pray for His kingdom. That means God's kingdom to come on earth just as it is in heaven. So we need to be busy praying that. We need to be doing what we're doing, but yet praying that. God tells us specifically that we are supposed to plan our way. Not just let things happen, but plan our way. And if we plan our way, then, and we're putting Him first in our lives, then He will direct our paths. And so we see that much in our founding fathers, and we have been a blessed nation, and we're living off of right now lots of the blessings that were done centuries ago. And but we also see curses in our nation, and so we should appeal to God to forgive us for our sins and to give us godly leadership, especially from Him directly, but that might go directly to us and our leaders. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to pray daily for our leaders. And so sometimes when we might be upset with our leaders, many times we might turn around and check ourselves, because that's what we're supposed to do. Check first before we're judging anybody else, is check ourselves. Have we been praying daily for our leaders? The Bible tells us a few things to pray daily for. One thing is specifically our leaders. Another is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And another is to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. In other words, we want to have God's work done in the earth rather than man's work. See, God, according to the Word of God, is that He controls the universe except for the earth. He has given dominion of the earth over to man, and so because of that, we are in many of the problems that we do have. We look to also, we see that where in the world did all the problems come from? Well, we look to the first instance that we see that there was sin, and that was by the one that God says is was the most beautiful of his creation, and that was Lucifer. And Lucifer thought himself all of a sudden, because he was more beautiful than and more accomplished, more powerful than anything else God created, looked to himself. He saw himself as beautiful. He saw himself as powerful. And he thought himself to be, many times he said, I will. Six or seven times in just a few short verses. As far as exalt myself up to the highest heaven, I will. And so he had great pride, and it's the matter of pride that really that sin of pride is where all the other sins come in and follow after. Because that's where murder and everything of trying to exalt oneself is where there is this will of I will do these things. The opposite of pride, of course, is not, we often think of what is the greatest virtue, and most people think that the greatest thing is love, but the greatest virtue is really humility, the opposite of pride. And we need to look for leaders that have humility, that are following as close as they can the Word of God as far as that, but then also have humility with them. So we it's a difficult task. We have to ask our Creator to help us, for Him to bring up leaders such as that, but also that we might understand who they are, that we might support them. And so we just sit this critical year, of course, pray for our leaders. But we have to remember that there's many other leaders that seem to be even more powerful than those even elected president or senators or congressmen, or even the judges. We look to our own nation. We see people, any person of great influence is truly a leader themselves, and they can turn people's heads one way or the other unless they're already facing toward their Creator, towards God Almighty. If they've got their eyes fixed on the Lord, then they're not easily swayed by people that would want to drag them away to some deception. And but today we are going to try to finish up on a brief study on prayer. We've had, I think, three sessions on it, and we're going to try to finish that today. We left we mentioned a few of the major areas of prayer. One thing is that we have to have it as a lifestyle. In other words, it's not just this is dealing with prayer that makes things happen. Anybody can offer up a prayer, but God talks about many prayers as being vain. They're vain repetitions so that we might be heard by our many, many words. Well, we don't want it to, that's the thing is, he's saying that's not so. That it's things that are from the heart. He also respects those things not only from the heart, but that agree with his word. And so if we're speaking his word back to him, then he listens, and the Bible also declares that the angels only act and only do anything based on if it's the word of God. So we want to be speaking or knowing the word of God and then speaking those things out of our mouth as well. So we look here that prayer needs to be a lifestyle. We see also that it needs to be as far as shameless insistence. In other words, we come and we're not pleading, because God shows us and tells us that we are supposed to come boldly before Him. And the only way we can come boldly before Him is really that we know that He is our God, that we are His child, that we have asked Him to be the Lord of our life, that we've asked Jesus Christ to be come into our heart. And so this brings boldness, and we need to realize this, that we don't come, there's not pride in that. It's a matter of humility, but it's a humility that we are doing what our God has told us to come to Him boldly. It's the third thing we talked about, thing that makes Satan's prayer happen, and is that we have to have faith in God. We're not just trusting in ourselves or something else, but we're trusting in Him. We're trusting in His Word. So that faith is a powerful, makes it powerful. And then we also go on and see that faith is the decision to believe. Faith is a commitment to trust. Faith is acting on the Word as if it's true, because it is true. And faith is seeing the answer before it comes. So we look at these things, and this is where we are beginning. And we come here, where we finished off this last week was on Isaiah 43:26, where God tells us to put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. In other words, He says, I'm here. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance and let us contend together. State your case, that you may be acquitted, or that you might be heard. See, God's desire is not to hold any sin against you, but He wants to blot those out. And so, but we have to come to Him, because He loves us, and He wants to do things for us. So we see that in Isaiah. Also, we see that we're going to cover a few subjects here for as far as dealing what type of prayer. It says when you pray, you're putting God in remembrance of His promise to you and confessing your agreement with it. So He was saying to put Him in remembrance. Okay, in remembrance of what? Well, that's what we want to look at. One thing is for salvation. One is for healing. One is for protection, one for finances, and another is for wisdom. These are five certainly major areas in our life that we need help. Let's look at Romans. If you have a New Testament, this is about maybe a third to a half, probably a little over a third of the way through the New Testament. It's the book of Romans. It comes right after the Gospels and the book of Acts. And in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10, it says that, as I said, this is dealing with salvation, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him up from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So what is happening here? It's saying that there's two things involved. And so as far as when we pray, this is really where we enter into a place of having our prayers answered. First, we have to have a relationship with the one we're praying with. And if we're asking for things from God, we need to have a relationship with Him. And so we ask Him, as far as we have to believe that He is, according to the Word of God, and that He is also a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And as I've mentioned before on each program, I try to mention at least once, there's really only two kind of people on this earth. There's those that are saved and those who are about to be saved. And the only question is, which one are you, and which one am I? if you can say that you are saved, then we praise the Lord with you. If you are about to be saved, well, we praise the Lord also that you're about to be saved. And so I just ask you to, before we go on in this study, is that because this is the thing that opens the door for your prayers being answered, I just ask you to repeat this after me. That's right. Actually, the Bible, when we read this, it said, what did it say? Two things here. It said to believe and to confess. So one thing is down in our heart, that we believe. It's gotten past our mind. It's gotten down to our heart now. And then once one believes, then faith is action. So action can be either a physical action or the matter of what we speak. For the Bible declares that out of the mouth the heart speaketh. So what we say is often, and use the according to that word, is coming from our heart. And we sometimes might say, well, that's not really in my heart. Well, it's something that you blurt out. Well, there must be some truth to that, that it's part in your heart. Maybe it's not the dominant area of your heart, but what comes out your mouth is partly in your heart, even though it may not be the dominant thing. So we see that as far as even when we're changing our life, we've given our life over to something else, but yet the Bible talks about the new man putting on the new man, and as far as taking off the old man. Well, the old man, when we change, we have made a critical decision in our life. There's a fight going on, because even though we have consciously changed, there's still areas in our life that haven't been renewed. That's why the Bible tells us that we are supposed to not to be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And so here it's in chapters 10, verses 9 and 10, it talks about believing, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that's what the question was. There's only those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. And so my question is, which one are you? And if you're one that's about to be saved, I just ask you to go ahead and say this after me. That's right, go just repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. The question is, where's Jesus right now? If you can say he's in your heart, then you have become a new creation. There's a new start. The mind hasn't been transformed yet, but there's a new start. There's the matter of you have transferred from being about to be saved to being saved. Now this can only come if that's a transformation of the heart, and then, as the word says, comes out our mouth. Now we want to go on to something else. You know, salvation has much more than just opens up a relationship with God. It talks about healing, and we want to look here at one of the three places in the Bible that this is quoted, that it's a promise from the Old Testament, but it's also fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it's in 1 Peter, that's right towards the end of the New Testament, if you want to look there. It's probably three-quarters anyway through the New Testament, maybe a little bit more. And if you go back there and find 1 Peter, and it's chapter 2, and verse 24 talks about who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes, that is, as far as when it's talking about stripes there, it means wounds, for whose stripes or wounds you were healed. Now, what does that have reference to? Well, in the prophecy in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, and then also in the New Testament twice, we see at the crucifixion of Jesus that he shed blood at various times, and it openly declares that it was for, as far as taking our sins away. The Bible clearly states that there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And it needs to be innocent blood, and it was always an animal's blood that was imperfect in every way. Well, then there, as far as people, there weren't any until Jesus. And Jesus was perfect. And his blood, thus was prophesied throughout the Old Testament that there was one coming, a Savior. And that the, even from Adam and Eve were told this, that the seed of the woman would crush Satan's head. And so we look here at this in reference to Jesus, that Jesus bore our sins, and in Jesus' own body on the tree, that having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes or by wounds you were healed. Now, I've seen many, many people that have, you see, why we're talking about this, these words from the Bible is that people are healed this way, is that miraculous healings take place. Now, some of them are instantaneous. Some that should take a week to a month will happen in a day. Some just take perhaps a week or two. And so, but yet, whether it is, it's the Word of God, and it's a matter of applying. We remember, it's what we, when God tells us to contend with Him, we are supposed to come before Him with His own words. We're supposed to have relationship with Him, and then have His own words. And it says that that's the only thing that the angels also will listen to, is to the words of God. And it doesn't matter whether it's directly from the throne or we are by the Holy Spirit speaking them out of the Word of God, that we are repeating them back, and not just a repetition, so we're not just reading it, but that we believe. You see, salvation comes by believing and confessing. Well, that's how healing and other things also come, by believing and confessing. So it's a matter of, that's what faith is. Faith is a combination of what comes from the heart of one's belief, and then their actions, which can be either physical actions or by words being spoken. And so we go on from there. That's as far as when you pray, you're putting God in remembrance. Remember, and of his promises. So we are trying to, as far as God already knows this all, but this is the way he wants us to come to him. He wants us to come to him with his own word that he has already spoken, and put him in remembrances of the promises to us, and that we then confess our agreement with what he has promised. And he says that he will listen and he will act. So we see that as far as salvation for healing. Now let's look to protection. This psalm is from the book of Psalms. Psalms is, if you take your whole Bible and just open that up right about in the middle, you will come to the book of Psalms, and if you look in there then to chapter 91, in World War I, there was a group of soldiers that for the United States Army that I don't know if it's the 91st Company or Brigade or something, but I don't know the technical term for it, but that the commander also had them memorize this verse, this chapter, and he had them, this is all dealing with protection, and they were of that, as far as in the top two to three groups of people that were in the very worst of the war throughout the war, had more combat than anybody else, except there's just a couple other companies that had about equivalent. And yet, because they were quoting this, it released the power of God and the power of his angels to watch over them. And out of that company, nobody was killed or wounded. That's because they were presenting before God God's own word, and because of that, God and his angels observed that and protected them in the fiercest of the fighting. So we look at the 91st Psalm, and we just want to look at just the first seven verses, but I would hope that you would write that down and remember this psalm, because this is how, if there's some great calamity, this is one that we should have in our mind before the calamity hits, and that's when if it does hit, that we remember quoting this. And just like that whole company of soldiers, even though that they were in the worst of the battles of World War I, that they might come out without anybody being killed or wounded. So it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers," or that means protection, just like a bird puts its feathers over young chicks, so it's like protecting them from the elements. And so this is also referring to our protection. It says, "And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." So we see here that this is, as I said, there's more to this, and talking about the angels being in charge over you and keeping you. And so I would encourage you strongly to write down Psalms 91. And if you don't have a Bible handy, to get one and spend the evening just reading that over and over again and meditating on that. And see the power of God come in to your life in those areas. We see here that it says, "His truth shall be your shield and buckler." A buckler is a smaller. They had two different sizes of shields. And this is one that's smaller. It'd be like sort of on the arm, that's protecting the arm. It's a little bit larger, but not a full-size shield. And so we look to this, and we look to God's word, because it's God's word that has power. So when we pray, we want to be sure that we know the word of God, so that we can pray according to the word of God. We make our own requests, but that we make them based on what the word of God says, and see that he has promises for us, and he delights to give those promises to us. So we've read now for about prayer that makes things happen in specific areas now of salvation and healing and protection. And let us also look as far as finances. As far as finances, let's go to the New Testament. About the middle of the New Testament is 2 Corinthians. And we'll turn there right now. There's right after Romans, there's 1 and 2 Corinthians, and we are looking for 2 Corinthians, and the chapter is chapter 8, and the verse is 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. And it says there, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." Now, many people have just tried to spiritualize that and say, okay, that meant that it was just for that we might draw closer to God and be spiritually rich. But that is not what it's saying. The way it's saying it, it means all types of richness. And so this is, yes, it is spiritual, but it is also towards physical things as well. So that there, we see also that God wants us to have an abundance that we might be able to do every good work, be able to give and do things to the glorifying and establishing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, his kingdom isn't such a political kingdom that we know of, like having a president or a king, but it's where he rules, and he is glorified. And so we see here that distinctly says that he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Now, this relates also to the other promises that dealing with salvation and for healing. Because we see in each one of these, there is an exchange. The exchange is that Jesus was wholly righteous. And it said that he bore our sins, that he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So it was like an exchange that he was the righteous one from heaven, and he bore our sins on the cross. And those that will believe on him, that those sins are washed away, and that if we accept that sacrifice, we are counted righteous. That means right standing. We get to have right standing before God. So there is an exchange there, that he became sin for us, that we might be made righteous. Now for healing, it says he was wounded for our transgressions, for our sins, for the curse that is in the world. He was wounded, but it was for our healing. So there is another transition. It's a matter of he took the bad part that we might be healed. Well, here he, as far as the riches, became poor that we might be made rich. Well, that is definitely as far as in relationship with God, but it also transfers to every area of life, and part of that is our physical. As far as those things that we have physically, how are we to bless people other than just things we do, than through physical means? And so he wants to bless us physically as well, so that we have those physical things to share then with others, and that we might become a blessing. You see, we get blessed so that we might become a blessing as well. So that was for, we've covered for salvation and for healing and protection and finances. And then in James, this is towards the end of the Bible. We looked at James. It's just after the book of Hebrews. And James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So, that's really a place where all of us desperately need. We need wisdom. And God tells us to come and ask of him. And you see, we seek him, and because he's the only wise God. There isn't any other. And he is willing to give us liberally wisdom. And that's where we are instructed to ask. So when we are praying for different things, we need to make a decision or something. We ask God for the wisdom that we might make a wise decision. But then also we need to pray that we ask him to guide and direct our steps, because lots of times we can do things based on our earthly wisdom, and we don't know the wisdom of God. So we need, beyond just ourselves, we need that power from God Almighty on high to also come alongside of us and help us, because we don't know what's going to transpire in the months or years ahead. And so oftentimes we might be able to see that we really had sought after God, and then we did something, and we didn't know for sure why, because it wasn't based just on our logic, but that we might see a year or two down the line that because of his guidance, it is that we missed a bad decision and found good decisions. So we need his help, his guidance and direction, his wisdom. So we see here that when we pray, we're putting God in remembrance of his promises to us. And so we covered salvation and healing, protection, finances, and wisdom. And as you pray, your faith grows. It says in Romans, we want to look back to the book of Romans again, and in chapter 10, and 10:17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, or the word of God." Now, there's in the Greek, we have two different words for the word. And so we just say the word of God. But actually, in Greek, there's two different words. One is talking about logos, or the written word, and one is the spoken word. So this is talking about here, we're supposed to be base things on the written word, but then we're also supposed to hear from God, or a quickening in our heart of a particular word, that we know that a certain word is for us. It's not just in our mind, but then there's a quickening in our heart. That's why it says here, by hearing the word of God, it doesn't say the logos, but it says the rhema, which is a live word, that it's not something you arrive at logically, but it's the rhema, the spoken word of God, is agreeing and telling you that this is the way you should go. So we see that there. Now, how do we start from here? Prayer starts with a love for God and people that is above everything else. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22. That's at the first of the New Testament, so that's about, if you looked at your entire Bible, if you have the entire Bible, it's about three-quarters of the way through the entire Bible is the starting of the book of Matthew, and this is towards the end of the book of Matthew, and it's Matthew chapter 22, and I'll just turn there just a couple seconds here, and it says we want to look here at verses 37 through 40, and here we see that this what Jesus has to say. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So he's telling us, okay, how do we start praying? Well, this says we pray, prayer starts with a love for God and people that is above everything else. So that's what we see here, that when we see Jesus speaking these words, he's saying that, first of all, we need to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. So in other words, everything that's within you. So there's nothing in reserve. There's nothing that that you're holding back. That it's not a 90% commitment. It's not even a 99% commitment. It's a 100% commitment. And then it says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we see in another place in Scripture that it says that if you don't love your neighbor or somebody else that you can see, how can you say that you love God? You see, if you truly love God, then you're going to love your neighbor. You're going to love people that are exceedingly, perhaps in the natural sense, hard to love. In other words, that is everybody. And so there has to be, what happens is, that love for God it comes to a place that you begin to get some of God's love for us back in us, which causes us then to be able to love ourselves and to love others. So we go on from there. It says prayer is talking to God. You can talk to God anywhere at any time. And that's what we were starting at the very first part of our whole lesson today, was that we were reminding, going back to the first, that it was the matter of prayer that makes things happen has to be part of our lifestyle. So this I'm saying here is prayer is talking to God, and you can talk to God anywhere, anytime. Pray whenever you think about someone, a need, your pastors, your family, your job, your old friends, tough situations, people that are saved and people that are about to be saved. Pray for those that for direction in your own life. I mean, we all need to pray for direction in our own life and for our families' lives as well. Prayer can and must be done constantly, everywhere. Yet it is important to have a private alone time aside with you and God. In other words, we can go through our day and not and realize that you just you don't have to close your eyes or anything to pray. It's an ongoing thing that prayer time is all the time, and that in your conversation with other people or whether at work or at home, that you are constantly aware of God and you just ask God to bless people in various ways, that they have needs and that you just lift up a short prayer for them. But it's also, we see here that we need to, that this needs to be some alone time. That perhaps when you're reading the Bible or just taking 5-10 minutes maybe up to an hour, or whatever God leads you to do, is taking time that you are spending time specifically, getting all of the distractions out, turning off any TV or radio or anything, that you perhaps might be meditating on one scripture in particular or certain needs you have. In other words, you know the word of a little bit of the word of God anyway, that you can bring that part of the word of God back to him and say, this is what I need in my life. And so you're dealing, it's not just part of the constant prayer life, but it's a time apart during the day for specific prayer for certain things. In your private time, we need to also need to look at certain things. We need to read the Word. That's right, in Psalms, again, I said Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. And we go to Psalms 119, and in chapter 119, which happens to be the longest, if you want to know what the longest chapter in the Bible is, it's Psalms 119. Well, in verse 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So we see that there. In your private time, we need to read the word. And we don't want to walk away from God or do things that are wrong, because we want open access to him, because that we need him. We need the word of God in our lives. And so we don't want, as it said there, we want the word of God in our hearts so that we don't sin. That we don't, what is sin? That's missing the mark. It's like if you've got a bow and arrow and you're shooting towards the target, and you hit the target, but it's off to the side. It's not in the bullseye. And so that's an important thing, that we pray so that we don't miss the mark. That's what sinning is. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we need to examine ourselves. What's important to us? That's really shows that what our gods are, is that if anything is more important than our relationship with our Creator, then that is an idol or a separate god. And you see, there are many things. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. Well, he's saying that because he's saying seek first, because he knows that we need to seek for many things. We just need to keep our priorities right. And so we need to look to him and to so that we can seek first what he wants and our relationship with him. And that that brings, as far as if we exalt him, if we praise him, if we glorify him and seeking him first, then those things that we have need of, then he will take responsibility and he will listen to those things that we have need of. And those things he will provide for us. But you see, there's an if. The if conditional part is the matter of seeking first him, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And then, all those other things that we do have need of will be provided for us. Okay, so we see that in our private time, we need to, one, read the word. And we mentioned that, Psalms 119:11, where it said that that we are supposed to hide the word of God in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. We see here to seek the Lord. It says to also to see where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So we need to look at ourselves every once in a while and see where is our heart. And our heart can be running after many different things, but the central part of it should be in our relationship with our Creator. Also, we see that we are to confess who you are in the Lord. So we want to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans is about a little bit past a third to a halfway in the New Testament. And Romans chapter 4. And verse 17, it says there, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Notice what he said there. He said, call those things that be not or don't exist as though they are. This is talking about Abraham. And Abraham is called the father of our faith. And this is part of prayer that we need to especially write down this verse, because this is critical to us receiving answers to many of our prayers. That's Romans chapter 4, verse 17. You notice that there it says, he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, this is, what is happening here is that there's facts and then there's truth. The Word of God is truth. And the facts, if we don't like the facts, we need to find what the truth, what the Word of God says about those situations in our life. And he has good things to say about them. But that we must, as Abraham did, that we must call those things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, we are calling and saying that those things that we want changed, that they are changed in Jesus' name. And so we are praying for certain things, but then we are declaring that the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, he has things for you as well, that things that you were supposed to pray for and I'm supposed to pray for ourselves, that we might be blessed and our families and our country and this world might be blessed. And we have to pray things into existence just as Abraham prayed things into existence. And what happened here was God counted this as righteousness towards him. And it's also the reason why he received his prayers. It's the reason why miracles happen, is because he was calling those things which did not exist as though they were. And so there's this place here of we're praying the Word of God, and then after we've prayed the Word of God, and that we also have assurance that he's heard us, that we then confess and speak as those things, that God is bringing those things to pass. So we are not continuing to say and declare things as though they are, but we start declaring things as though that we have faith for them to become, that we have promises from the Word of God for those things to come. We also need to, the last thing is we need to end with a time of loving God and praising him, and just a matter of whatever you might do, whether it's dancing or laughing or kneeling, but have the excitement and joy of having a relationship with God, of having a relationship, being a Christian. And so there's this we go back to the what most people call the Lord's Prayer, but it's really disciples' prayer. It begins with praise and glory, and it ends with that. That when it says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from all evil. And then it goes into the ends with for the praising part, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of forever. Amen. So you see, these are essential parts that we learn how to pray so that we have prayer that makes things happen. And it's got to be based on the Word of God. It can't be just of our own design. So we need to seek out what and become familiar with the New Testament and other places of Scripture to see what the will of God is for you. And His will for you is good, and it's blessed. But when we pray, we need to know that and be praying His Word. So I hope this has been a help to you. And next week we will, now that we've finished this, I hope this has been certainly giving some outline as far as ways that we need to come to God, to our Creator, and to have prayer towards Him that will actually change circumstances and change things. We love to be with you, and we just thank you so much for listening, and we want to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving to God for our nation, and we just pray for the primaries and leadership, not just there, but in every area of leadership of our nation, especially like Hollywood and the TV networks and everything, that Father, that we pray that in Jesus' name, that the hearts of the people might turn back to their God and turn to you and listen to you and study your word and be a light in this dark world in many places, Father, that your name might be exalted. And Father, we just pray for each one of these people that you meet their needs. And not just that, but bring abundance of joy into their life and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. God bless you. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State. And we will pick up a new topic next week and perhaps have an interview. We will be looking, seeing how things work out. Okay, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We love you. Bye-bye.